Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Monday, November 23rd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
There's been some pressure on gold today. Certainly, the commodities were once again weaker for the day. Go ahead and bring up the numbers here. You have gold down $8.90, currently in the aftermarket on the New York spot at $1,069. You have silver down $8.14.21. Had a big dip earlier in the day on silver, $13.84. Came back 10 cents higher, but is settling around the $14.21 level. Platinum down 10 at $848. And you have palladium down almost again, once again, 4%. Down 22 at $543. The USDX today, I hadn't had a chance to follow the paper markets today, but it doesn't surprise me that it's stronger, 0.19 at 99.80. Crude oil down 0.03 at 41.87. And the paper markets today, there was some pressure on it, nothing significant. The Dow is down 30 points, 17,792. The NASDAQ was down 2 at 5102, basically no change also on the S&P at 2086. The 10-year yield, 2.25. That's been holding steady at that level for a while, along with the euro at 106 today. Well, the foreign market's pretty much unchanged overnight. That's about it. There were some reports today. Let me see if I can bring them up here. Maybe I can and maybe I can't. I've got so much. Well, phooey. How's that for phooey? How's that for a radio?
F-U-E-Y?
Phooey.
Or is it F-O-O-Y?
Oh, phooey. P-H.
I'm trying to find out. P-H. All right. Then it's not a four-letter word.
No.
Can't be saying four-letter words on radio, Melody.
No, it's not. It's phooey. It's phooey. Anyway, there's a big merger. You have Pfizer and Allergan. They're going to create the world's biggest drug maker. And you have two of the biggest Democrats bashing the plans. You have Hillary and Bernie that are in there saying that this shouldn't be allowed to go through. It's a $160 billion deal that will create this largest drug dealer. But the merger is a so-called inversion in which U.S. companies look to lower their tax bills. They combine with a company in a country with a lower tax rate. And so it saves the U.S. company millions in taxes. And they've done this. There's been 27 acquisitions involving an inversion with a U.S. company since 2011. Those deals total more than $420 billion in value and about $344 billion in deals being proposed since the start of 2014. And there's a list of them, probably the most, Burger King. They bought Tim Horton, and you have other ones that have done the same thing. So, gee, I wonder if I marry someone that lives in another country, would I be able to have a marriage inversion? Do you think that's possible, Al? So I don't have to pay taxes?
I think you might be able to get an inverted divorce.
Perhaps.
They don't care for the marriages that much, but they're much in favor of the divorces, so...
U.S. home sales fell 3.4%, so you have fewer Americans buying homes. And supposedly with the prior buying that has been going on in the year, the home values are rising. So they're blaming it on rising home values that there's been fewer Americans buying homes. The sales of existing homes fell 3.4% last month. And the October sales decrease indicates the market is treading water. Median home sale price was $219,000 in October, and that's about a 5.8% annual increase. I'm thinking if that increase of 5.8% was enough to knock down home sales by 3.4%, that to me that does not... seem to come from a healthy economy. You would think that a 5.8% annual increase would make that much of a difference. But in the West, where you had the biggest rise in prices, that declined the most, and that was 8.7% in the West. So still not a healthy economy. You have first-time buyers accounted for 31% of sales in October. First-time buyers, they historically make up about 40% of all sales. That's about it. I think the only other interesting thing I thought was in Argentina, they had elections, and they've ousted the Cristina Fernandez, and you have Macri.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You have Macri. He's... had a win late Sunday and began laying out how he would achieve some of the promises that helped him end the 12-year reign. But what's interesting, he actually assumes the president's December 10th, and that country has problems like 30% inflation and government spending, and that many private economists warn is not sustainable. Kind of sounds, we don't have 30% inflation yet, but we certainly have the government spending, and there's many economists that says this is not sustainable. But what's interesting, he says, we need to know the real state of public accounts. And certainly I think that's...
Meaning?
Truth.
Wait. Are you saying that the new president-elect in Argentina mm-hmm. is the one who's saying they need to know how bad, they need to know what the
real state of public...
the books.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What do you think he'll find? Do you think he'll find they're falsified?
He'll probably find the same thing that you would find here in the States. Absolutely.
I doubt if he finds it as great. But
probably not as great.
Something. I'd say one other thing. This is a good strategy if you're coming into office and you know there's going to be trouble. You
Dig
might as well tell show people, here's what the books really are, and then you can blame the problems on Christina after you're in office. Said, look, she's been cooking the books for 12 years. I just got in here. Now I'm trying to clean up the mess she made. It's a good opportunity to kind of distance yourself from the previous administration.
dig that info up immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the market dictate you looking it up. You look it up first and let it all fall. We had a question come in. The Fed is having, an unscheduled meeting. People have been using the word emergency meeting. You can use whatever word you want, but I don't consider it an emergency meeting. But
today,
they are meeting today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be over by now, probably. I don't know, but it allegedly started at 11:30, presumably East Coast time, because that's where they were meeting. So I'm going to guess the meeting is over or just about over. But some people think it's an emergency meeting, and it is a little bit odd because the meeting was only scheduled on the 19th. Here we are 4 days later. They're meeting under expedited procedures, which, reading the text from the Federal Reserve website, it says it's anticipated that the closed meeting of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System at 11:30 a.m. on Monday, November 23, 2015, will be held under expedited procedures as set forth in Section 26LB.7 of the Board's Rules Regarding Public Observation of Meetings. It appears that expedited procedures means it may mean they're going to have a meeting under expedited procedures and the public won't be allowed to attend. This is not necessarily a big deal, but it is interesting that they only called to this meeting apparently 4 days ago. Now, that suggests that something's happened in the last week or so, 10 days, who knows, that has caused them to say, we need to talk. And they go down and they say, read what they claim, matters considered. This is from the Federal Reserve website. It says, review and determination by the Board of Governors of the advance and discount rates to be charged by the Federal Reserve banks. Well, that's not exactly a big deal. It's interesting, but it's not a big deal. But they go on and they say, the final announcement of matters considered under expedited procedures will be available in the board's Freedom of Information and Public Affairs offices and on the board's website following the closed meeting. Implication. They say they're going to be talking about the advance and discount rates to be charged by Federal Reserve banks. That's what they say they're talking about. But they also say, we might be talking about something else, and we're not going to tell anybody before the meeting begins. We will allegedly tell the people after the meeting is over. That's a little odd to me. I don't know if that's standard procedure for the Federal Reserve or not, but it's certainly a little bit odd. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that gets you talking to yourself a little bit. If you like conspiracy theories, they're having a meeting on short order. The public's not allowed to attend. They're not telling us everything they're going to talk about. They claim they will tell us after the meeting's over. I'll make you a bet, and I'll never be able to win it or lose it. I'll make you a bet that they're going to talk about something and try to come to a particular agreement. And if they don't get the agreement that people in charge want, and maybe they won't even say they talked about it. If they do get the agreement the people in charge want, then perhaps it'll be listed after the meeting on the Fed's website or wherever. But it's just a little bit odd. It's not cause for, you know, great excitement and the rest of it, and it's been referred to by others as an emergency meeting, and the word emergency does not appear in the Fed's description of the meeting and notice of the meeting. It does say, the headline from the Federal Reserve, it says, Government in the Sunshine Meeting Notice. So apparently they're going to be pumping sunshine at this meeting, Melody. I don't know. Just maybe smoke, too. We're going to maybe pump sunshine. They haven't said they're going to pump smoke also, but maybe they will. Smoke, mirrors, and sunshine.
Well, as you mentioned before, you know, they have these special meetings. They have occurred before, and they have closed meetings before. What I find interesting is the timing of everything. I mean, here you're going into a holiday weekend, and to me, I think the timing is interesting. You know, if they were going to plan this meeting, why didn't they do it next week after the holiday? Because, you know, I mean, heck, all of Washington shuts down. There's probably nobody there this week. So to me, I think that the timing is also more interesting. But by the time we get back from the holiday, it'll be the 30th, you know, whatever they plan. You have their rate meeting, what is it, the 15th of December, I believe?
19th, I thought it was 18th and 19th.
You know,
but
something in there, somewhere around.
Mid-December.
And yeah, you're right. They make the announcement on the discount rate. That could mean, you know, anything. But what I find interesting about the discount rate, that usually goes higher than the Fed fund rate. So if they are going to make changes in the rates, this one they will probably want to increase.
The Fed, you know, maybe, discount rate.
Yeah, they'll want to increase the discount rate unless... you know, so it could have something to do with what they plan to do on the 18th. But the discount rate, that's when the banks borrow from them after they've exhausted all of the sources of credit. You know, where a bank doesn't want to lend to this bank because there's risk there, considerable risk. So the bank then has to go to the feds to get the money. And this is
in other words, if they don't trust the regular bankers, they will trust the feds. But
the discount window is pretty much the last resort for the bank to solve any type of liquidity issues that they might have on a short-term basis. So, you know. So it could be just something like a precursor to, you know, raising their rates come the December 18th. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But we'll be following this.
I think they're reacting to something, though. I mean, if they're going to talk about changing the rates a month from now, essentially, I don't think they'd ever have the meeting organized on the basis of call for a meeting on the 19th, have the meeting on the 23rd. That's pretty short order.
I don't know. I haven't followed their procedures.
More like a reaction.
Yeah,
to me, it's more like a reaction to something that's happened in the last week or 10 days.
It does seem that way, but I haven't followed their, you know, their protocols for, you know, their meetings and their timings of their meetings and so forth some major decision. And it will be. A
you
major
know what I mean? There's
decision.
Some things more interesting to do in life than follow the protocols of the Federal Reserve meetings, do you?
Well, really. Not this year.
All right.
Not this year. He also had a second part in the question that we can go over real quick. He wanted to know about what would happen if they raise rates or even if they went into a negative rate. He says, what will happen to gold and silver? And we talked about this, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, where there's been three major rate hike cycles. And the first time was in 72, 73. You had a peak gain of gold of 162%. The next time was between 77 and 80. You had a peak gain of 555%, 46 times. In 2004 to 2006 was the third major rate hike cycle. And I had a peak gain of 74%. And that was 4.5 times more than the S&P. So you can see gold rise significantly. Is it going to happen the day after the rates go up? No, it's not. But over a period of time, you certainly can see gold rise. And if, you know, so, you know, gold is going to do well no matter what condition it's given. Because when you look at the history of gold and you look at the history of a fiat currency, we are here today because of that fiat currency. Gold will do what it's supposed to do. And it's really as simple as that.
Well, while we consider the simplicity of gold's obligations, let's take some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody? What's next, Melody?
Only my doctor used to sing to me when I was a little girl. He used to sing a song, Melody. So, anyway.
Well, that was intended to be like, What's New Pussycat? Which was a Tom Jones song from back in the old days when they still had those big funnels mounted on. They had the RCA Victor dog listening to the sound coming out. That was from that era.
I just want to remind listeners to get to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we don't encourage this enough. I do appreciate your questions coming to us at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com, discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com, or you could use questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. We do appreciate your questions, and because sometimes we have a tendency to overlook some things because we're busy doing and reporting on other things. So your questions are very, very important. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, you can listen to the archives of the program on our website, dgscoins.com. And I just want to remind listeners, until 2016, the U.S. Mint did come out, and for 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles and 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagles, they are no longer making any of the 2015s. So they have become a little bit limited. So make sure, if you want those fractional pieces, to let us know. We do have some here in inventory. And the 1/2 ounce is still good, and the 1 ounce is still good. We're still selling those. And they're, so you have to be careful purchasing the 2015 American Eagle series. But give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. The AU $5 Liberty Gold piece is a great product to purchase for a fractional piece of gold. And we have a few, very few, and we might even be out. But give us a call, and we can go over the inventory and put together a great little package for you.
Here's an article from Zero Hedge. Headline, Global Trade Just Snapped. Container freight rates plummet 70% in 3 weeks. The Baltic Dry Index is also at record lows. And this is really a remarkable report, particularly coming in. This is just in front of the Christmas season, you understand? And it's telling us that global commerce is down, down, and down. All right? This does not bode well for the Christmas season. It says this market is looking like a disaster, and the rates are a reflection of that, one warns one of the world's largest ship brokers. While the Baltic Dry Freight Index gets all the headlines, having collapsed to all-time record lows last week, it is the specifics of that headline that are truly terrifying. At a time of typical seasonal strength, they're talking about Christmas time, should be moving all the gigaws, should be coming from China to here and coming from China, moving from China into Europe. At the time of typical seasonal Christmas strength for freight and thus global trade around the world, Reuters reports the spot rates for transporting containers from Asia to Northern Europe have crashed a stunning 70% in the last 3 weeks alone. 3 weeks and a 70% decline. All right, that is scary. That's something strange. And this is from Asia, meaning China primarily, to Northern Europe. Right, we don't see that same degree as you'll hear as we go into this. The decline from Asia to the United States is about 8%, maybe 9%. The decline from Asia to Northern Europe is 70%. I mean, yeah, we're having a little trouble. We're on a downstroke. They are on a plunge. This is very strange. The article goes on. It says this almost unprecedented divergence from seasonality has only occurred at this scale once before, and that was 2008. It's looking scary for the market, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any life in the market near term. They got a graph of the Baltic Dry Index, which tracks shipping rates globally. And it is at record lows. It's been kept since 1985, and it is currently at a record low of, from reading, it looks like 550 or thereabouts, reading on the graph. This is coming down from, in 08, it peaked at something like 1,200. And now it is down to 550. It has taken some, it plunged in 2008, rose up again, up and down, blah, blah, blah. Shanghai containerized freight is collapsing, another one. As Reuters reports, shipping freight rates for transporting cargoes from ports in Asia to Northern Europe plunged 27.9% to $295 per 20-foot container the week ending on Friday. That's in the week. The source of, the drop came after spot freight prices, the world's busiest route, dropped 39% last week. The spotlight rates are for transporting containers carrying anything from flat-screen TVs to sportswear from Asia to Northern Europe has fallen 70% in 3 weeks. Now, let me give one more. The container freight rate fell 22% from Asia to ports in the Mediterranean, all right, Southern Europe, but it dropped 8.6% to ports in the United States West Coast. In the U.S., West Coast, we're down 8%, and East Coast was down 8%, West Coast was 8.6%, so you can say 8 or 9% in the United States. The implication on all of this is that the difference between the fall off in shipping rates to Northern Europe, 70%, and to the United States, 8 or 9%, indicates that while the United States market is weakening, it's still much stronger than that of Europe. If we can believe these numbers, it implies that Europe is in or near a depression right now. I mean, they're in trouble. As supplier to Europe, China should be in or near a deep recession or even depression. Only the United States may escape the worst of this economic fall, although we will also clearly slide deeper into recession and or depression. But it looks from these numbers, if you can just judge from these numbers, and 3 weeks is not enough to normally amount to much, but 70% in 3 weeks, that's something. That's worth talking about. That's worth thinking about. 70% in Northern Europe, 22-23% in Southern Europe. All right. This signals that maybe something's happening here. Maybe something important has happened. Optimists say this has nothing to do, the demand has nothing to do with falling demand, but is merely due to an oversupply of ships. Okay, it's not that people aren't buying things, getting ready for Christmas. It's they just got too many ships, see? Well, according to this article, the supply of ships has surged, but only thanks to totally manipulated and decoupled from reality signals from markets that cause firms to massively malinvest in building ships for the renaissance of global trade, which never happened. In other words, zero hedge implies that if the shipping industry is overbuilt, it's only overbuilt because the shipping industry believed the economic indicators that had been falsified by the Federal Reserve, U.S. government, and other central banks and outlets of the New World Order. They told them, look, business is great, unemployment is down, everything's great, and so they built ships. And according to this article, there is some truth to the idea that we have more ships than we need right now. That's true. But the demand for ships did not fall 70% in 3 weeks to Northern Europe because they got too many ships. All right? That didn't happen. If it was going to happen, if there was going to be a slack off in the Baltic Dry Index and it was going to be only due to ships, an oversupply of ships, that's easily solved. You mothball however many ships you need. You don't need it. You your excess in ships. Mothball them, put them up, park them off to the side, and we'll get back to them when business picks up. I do not find the argument that this is due to an oversupply of ships. I don't find that to be credible. It might be that the 70% fall to Northern Europe is partly due to oversupply of ships. I'll go along with that. But it can't be mostly due. Especially 70% three-week period coming into Christmas. This is when all the stuff should be hauled over here to be put on the shelves for people buying things for Christmas. This is evidence that demand has collapsed. Zero Hedge blames the problem in part the oversupply of ships on shipping industry being dumb enough to believe the statistics that the government, economic statistics that the government puts out. And it reminds me of the line from poet Walter Scott back around 1808, You're Our Lord. He said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Over 200 years ago. Made that observation. Very nice observation. And what it implies is when the government starts falsifying economic indicators and telling us that the employment rate is substantially less than it is, and telling us that the size of the national debt is substantially less than it is, and trying to instill confidence where there's not much basis for confidence, they are trying to deceive us. But what happens is the web, once you start trying to deceive, the web becomes more complex and more tangled. And as, you know, Walter Scott, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, or when first we practice to run the Federal Reserve. All right, tangled webs. Ah, what else do we have down here? It says the fact that the ships have not been mothballed. Well, we want to get into that. It just looks, this is just almost spectacular evidence that we are not going to have a big time Christmas. Now, we'll watch and see. It's not proof, but it's evidence. And if they're not, I mean, something is happening globally for shipping at the peak, which should be the peak of the year. And instead of going up, it's going down, and not a little bit down or even a little bit sideways. It's going badly down, 70% to Northern Europe. The other point, it indicates, again, that Europe's in trouble. Something's going on in Europe, and they are on the verge of major problems. And whatever trouble we have in this country right now, Europe's got more. And China, insofar as it's wedded to Europe, also has trouble. We are the cleanest dirty shirt in the world economic hamper right now. We got a little bit of trouble. Maybe we've got a lot of trouble, but they got more trouble. They got big trouble. We got trouble. They have got big trouble. That's the implication. To me, very unusual and insightful story.
Well, we talked about the Harpax Index, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. I think when we talked about the Baltic, I don't know, maybe it was longer than a couple of weeks ago, maybe. But the Harpax, what's interesting about that and where he got this information that this index, the Harpax Index, is, and I think you mentioned it too, is what they carry also. What's based on those freight rates are container ships, and these container ships is what carries these finished goods for retailers. So when you see those rates drop for this type of a ship, where the dry Baltic, I mean, you're just looking at your ores, your building materials and things like that, your commodities, so forth.
Yep.
So it is a different index, and to track those rates for these container ships is important, and it shows that people are not buying, that people, you know, they're not, you know, the economies are far worse than what anyone cares to admit,
yeah,
you know,
for
any of these governments. So, yeah, it is a good indicator as far as something to follow and so forth.
The other, well, I had something there. The other point is that they do talk in this article, they talk about how much iron ore is being moved to China, how much aluminum, how much copper is being shipped, and the rest of that. They point to these, the supply, the amount of these commodities that are being moved has been diminished dramatically. And that's in keeping with the price of these commodities falling significantly.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I've understood about economics since I was, I don't know, since the 60s, I wasn't a student of economics per se, but I understand that when commodities go down, it is a signal that you are in a recession and or economic depression. It's one of the signals that make this as, uh-oh, you got trouble here. Well, uh-oh, we got trouble here. The question, you know, we can sit back and say, well, Europe's got big trouble, and that appears to be the truth. And it could, and we can say China's got pretty big trouble, and that appears to be the truth. The question is there trouble, the trouble at Europe and the trouble in China, is that enough to drag the entire global economy down? And will the United States be able to resist, or will we drop with the rest of them, although perhaps at a later date? They'll fall first, and then we'll land on top of them. We'll watch and see. Before I will roll that around the back of our minds while we take a couple more commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We got a caller, Melody.
Good. James from West Virginia, I believe.
No, it's Jim.
Oh,
Holmes.
Yeah.
James.
I just thought I would shed a little bit of light on this shipping deal. I have acquaintances who are paying much more attention to this than I do. I've been off the net for 2 years. But I think it was in 2009, 2010, something like that. I did see a picture. He shipped it to me. He sent it to me email. Of all these ships, I'd say 30 or 40 of them, cargo ships, which were anchored offshore. I remember it was the Pacific Ocean. I can't remember if it was off China, Eastern World, or off us. I don't remember.
I think Shanghai, maybe.
Sir?
Shanghai, perhaps.
Or perhaps Shanghai. I don't remember where. And I don't have to go back or look for it. But this idea is they've overbuilt too many ships. Recently, and another point on the curve is that I'm not going to say a record number, but a bunch of ships are getting scrapped in the Great Lakes area. Like, I think one operation is in Lorain, Ohio, or real near there. But nobody in the right mind would have built new ships, so I don't buy that at all. And if I remember correctly, the Baltic Dry Index is the total tons which are being transported, not having to do anything to do with how many ships are transporting it. So
yeah,
I think somebody's trying to whitewash something.
Yeah, they're just trying to put a happy face on a disaster.
Bingo.
I mean, this
and also,
is equivalent to the Titanic, and they're saying all those people are running out of the engine room. They're just coming out to catch a little fresh air. Nothing
right.
To worry about.
Well,
no, there's something to worry about.
A lot of hand plays on it. Also, another point on the curve, I'm in sporadic contact with people, or in sporadic contact with people in Europe. And from what I've heard, in some parts of the world where the Muslims are going nuts, they're saying in so many words, you ain't going to have no Christmas celebrations this year, and harassing shop owners with Christmas stuff. So I don't know. There's a little bit that I know, but not a whole heck of a lot about this shipping deal. So you might want to look into it. I think somebody's trying to whitewash it. I think we're in a lot more trouble.
Well, I do, too.
Anybody.
I mean, they're trying to say it's just too many ships. I'm saying that just doesn't compute for me.
No.
We are. What this indicates is demand is down. Nobody is ordering things to be shipped at what should be the busiest shipping season of the year.
There
right?
you go.
That indicates
Bingo.
We are not going to have a big Christmas. They might not have any Christmas at all in Europe. And it's,
there's
going to be some Christmas sales. There are going to be some Christmas sales in this country, and maybe not, you know, maybe long before we get to Christmas. We're going to see some bottom prices here.
Well, I will believe deflation when I see prices dropping on everything. Let me, if I can go on just a little bit about the Islamic deal. I'm no expert, believe me. But I had a very constructive conversation with an Islamic guy, before 01, so I'm guessing 15 years ago, 16, 17, really opened my eyes to see things. Now, he was an American guy. He was an African-American guy who converted to Islam because he got fed up with the hypocrisy of a mainline Protestant church. But he was around people from the Middle East all the time. And he was saying that the people who came over prior to the 90s were well-educated Islamic people, and they were not violent. He said, now, but what they can do over there is they're teaching these young Islamic people, read the book of Joshua. God says, kill them all. And, well, we have been killing a whole lot of people over there. You know, we're supposed to be a good Christian nation. Now, I'm Christian. And so all these Islamic people are seeing everybody getting killed over there, thinking, huh, Christian, murderer. So guess which group of people take it in the neck in the Middle East and everywhere else?
Oh, I agree.
The Christians, because we're supposedly a Christian nation. And, you know, it makes me sick. When I was a kid, my parents hammered into me that a criminal takes control of that which is not his, that which belongs to somebody else. And then by the time I got through eighth grade, I had been indoctrinated. So my dad asked, what is a criminal? I said, somebody who breaks the law. And so he said, okay, well, which law? I said, well, the government laws. So Dad says, so in other words, anybody who doesn't do what the government says is a criminal. Yeah. Then he got real upset because, you know, he said, my mother said, basically, under common law, a crime is the description of the damage done to another living man or woman, not what some government decrees is a crime. They can say, oh, you drop an egg 3 feet and you break it, that's illegal. You owe us money. But the bottom line is, unless and or until people understand it's just flat wrong to go to another country and murder people, if young men will sooner or later quit believing old men's lies, maybe some of this will slow down without too much.
I don't even know if it's old men's lies. I'd say it's old fascist lies.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a group of people that are running this country that are not representative of the American people.
Absolutely.
At least I hope they're not. I sure
You're
hope
right.
they're not. Certainly don't seem to be. They've captured
right.
us. They've conned us. They've deceived us. We've been dumb enough and weak enough to fall for their crapola. But they are coming from a completely different place from where most of us live and most of us want to live. And it's all
another thing.
Well,
I'm sorry.
And
another thing. Go ahead.
I just want to do this one poll, and perhaps this answers, you know, some of the questions of why we feel that, you know, our needs are not being met. White Christians now make up less than half of the U.S. population, largely receding from the majorities of most demographic groups, with one notable exception, of course, the Republican Party. And it's true, they have, you know, I can't say what I want to say about the Republican Party on air, but this was according to the latest results from the Pew Research Center, and just 46% of American adults are white Christians, down from 55% in 2007. That's a huge drop.
Whoa.
That's a huge drop.
That's scary.
Yep.
Talk about disillusion with the Christian church. I think there are an awful lot of Christians.
That's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. We have too many ministers who have gone into these 501c3 churches, and they've said they can serve two masters. We're going to serve God, but we're all going to also going to serve the IRS, the government, so we can get a tax break. I guarantee you, if you're going to a church that's a 501c3, that church is trying to serve two masters. It's not really a Christian church, in my opinion. And for me, we would be better off
paying the taxes, letting the church get by. Maybe they get by in poverty, but they tell the true message and not compromise things and avoid political issues and rest of that sort of. That's part of the deal with the 501c3. You can't devote more than 5% of your resources to political activity. That means
right.
You have a non-political church. I guarantee you the church at the time of Christ was not non-political. The church in the Old Testament, they got right in the face of the kings and whatever. The prophets went in and said, you better stop this or the good Lord's going to knock you down big time. They were political. And we're trying to... Our churches teach us how to be good to our neighbors and the cats and the dogs and the spouse and so on, but nobody is telling us it's time for you to stand up on your hind legs and put an end to the corruption that's taken place in Washington. And when we lost that religious foundation, we lost the motivation. We don't resist them. And I think that's part of the reason why people are quitting the Christian church. It's not because they're no longer Christians, per se. It's just they're disgusted with a church that is weak.
Something else, which Bull shed a lot of light onto this. At one time, who came up with the first hospitals, the churches? Luke was a physician, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
The churches were responsible for education.
Yeah.
The churches were responsible for welfare, so health, education, welfare were in the hands of the church. Now, in colonial America, I remember our textbooks, it had a layout of a colonial town. Oh, here's the city hall, and here, this is the church, and here's the school. Bull. They were all one and the same.
Yeah.
School during the week, a meeting place on Saturday, worship on Sunday. But the church has basically been... emaciated or emasculated or something, I don't know what, but the church is not doing what it's supposed to. And the one thing I can tell Christians is read your Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, I've eaten up enough air time.
All right, Jim, thank you.
Appreciate
your call. You know, I think that's, we really do need some kind of, give me that old time religion. That's been a popular phrase at a lot of times in American history, but there is something wrong. I speak as a Christian, but there's something wrong with the Christian churches. They're selling us a bunch of BS, in my opinion, and they are very seldom selling us on what our responsibilities should be and why we must stand up to resist corruption and whatever else is going on in government that's illegal, ungodly, and even unconstitutional. We don't get that out of the churches. And again, it goes from this business that they can't devote more than 5% of their resources to political activity. You know, the American Revolution, they talked about having the American Revolution was supported by the Black Robed Brigade. And some people believe the Black Robed Brigade was responsible for winning the American Revolution. And the Black Robed Brigade was a term they used to describe the ministers of the time, the people standing in the pulpit and saying, this British king is bad news. And you got to stop this guy. You got to get the British out of here. And it's not a function of worrying about the tea or the taxes. It's a function of doing what the good Lord wants you to do. When people are motivated by their spirituality, they are almost impossible to stop. When they're only in it for the money, the convenience, the fun, whatever, you can run them off without any trouble. But you get people motivated by their spirituality, and they are implacable in their determination to do what they believe is right. And when Jim is talking about, it used to be that the churches, for example, were responsible for the education of children. Well, once the government moved in with public school education, they essentially distanced that education from the church, and they distanced the people from the church, and they moved us into a position where we don't do things for spiritual reasons. In fact, if we try to do things for spiritual reasons, a lot of people say, oh, this guy's crazy, you know, some kind of a lunatic or something. You need that kind of lunacy if you're going to hold this country together. And if all we're going to be is a bunch of secular atheists or kumbaya Christians, where we're all going to just sing and get along together, the people are in big, big trouble, because there are people in the world who will fight for what they want, and the Muslims are a classic example.
They'll take what you've got as long as you're not willing to fight. And if you don't know, if you're not willing to fight, you don't know why you're fighting, you don't know what you're fighting for, how can you defend yourselves? You have turned those obligations over to the government. So, oh, the government will defend me. The government will protect me. The government will tell me what to do. The government will maintain our values. No, they won't. I mean, the biggest, you know, the great danger here, Europe, to me, is a classic example. We still have a chance. Well, Europe may not. They have lost their ability to fight. They're waiting on somebody to save them. The Muslims are walking right in. The Europeans don't have guns. They don't have the, after World War II, they have been stripped of the ability, inclination to engage in warfare. They're, and I'm not, you know, war is not a good thing, but it is the way the world is. And if you're not willing to fight, somebody's going to take whatever you've got, and therefore you got to be willing to fight. You got to know what you're fighting for. You have to know why you're fighting. And if, ideally, if you understand that what you're doing is a question of what the good Lord wants, and I'm not saying you got to get look for some lunatic to lead you into beheading people because you think that's what God wants you to do. But still, there's a point here, and we are nowhere near that point, that line where we understand this is what God wants. This is what we're doing. This is service to God. When you got that, you are powerful. Don't have it, you are weak. So here we are. We are in a situation where we have become weak, weak, weak. I mean, we don't even protect our borders. How crazy is this? How insane can it be that we waste our time and our money and some of our lives over fighting and whatever's going on in the Middle East? Why? Because Assad in Syria is interfering with plans to control the flow of oil. He has an adverse impact on what we think should be happening with oil pipelines, and therefore we're going to all sorts of complex, devious schemes in order to try to get him out of the way. But why don't we just mind our own business, including protect our own borders? If you won't protect your borders, this country is going to be submerged, where poor people from around the world are going to come here like locusts, and they will strip the fields bare, and when this country is completely stripped, they'll move on to whatever's left. Non-productive people coming here, they're coming here to consume, and they'll consume whatever it is you've got unless you're ready to fight to keep what you've got. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Never seems to be a single penny left for me.